blessing God.
Probably not unfamiliar place in Scripture. Probably you've heard about Nadab and Abihu.
Yep, come on.
And I think it's very relevant for the day and hour. The instance that we have in Scripture that tells us about these two very priestly important individuals in the Scripture and their sin really is really relevant, I think, for the day and hour in which we live. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace, and Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. You may be seated tonight. Very peculiar, particular scripture tonight. In fact, I've bounced back and forth all day. I don't normally do that. I normally get settled, pretty easy, but I've been a little bit unsettled today. But I realize that in this scripture that Nadab and Abihu, and we all probably know the story of their lives and how they offered strange fire and how the Lord slew them there in his presence. And the reason is because that they had habitual, continual sin in their life. And they would not alter. They would not change. They would not repent. And after a while, the Bible, just like the Bible says, surely your sins will find you out. Well, you know, I realize that all of this and through all of these things, I know that everything that they done was wrong. It is sin and it shouldn't have been done, but they done it anyway. And verse 10 tells us that they did not make a difference between right and wrong. Now, the relevance is that we live in a day and hour of tolerance and total do whatever you want to do. In the world that we live, you can go to the schoolhouse and be a cat or a dog or, if you're going to be a cat or dog, I'd just soon tie you up on a short leash to a apple tree somewhere or something. But, I realize that you can change genders like, people change shirts or underwear. And nobody seems to care. We live in a society where that we've gotten so religious and so full of apathy that we've just forgotten the very things that are just common sense, and I think the Bible's common sense. I know there's some that needs to be dictated a little bit in understanding and given a little bit of learning, but the Bible says that the Spirit giveth liberally and upbraideth not. All we got to do is ask for that wisdom and God will just reveal it to us. And so I realized that they did not make a difference between the holy and the unholy, and they did not make a difference between the clean and the unclean. That was their sin. Their sin was that they did not show a line of separation or a presence of sanctification to come out from among the heathen and be ye a separate people. They did not show that mark. They did not have that attribute in their life. They did not have that idea before them. And so there's a number of things that we can say about them. But before we go any further, you say, well, this is just a time and a period that where everybody kind of got nonchalant or got tolerant about society. But if you was to go back into chapter 9 and verse 22, let's read it. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, just three verses earlier than chapter 10, verse 1. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people. Now they're having a sin offering. I mean, they're evening the balances. They're putting away all the sin and all the reckoning before God. This is an atonement, a day, a time that they are offering a sacrifice, not just for the sin of the priests and not just for a sin of a few people, but for the entirety of the nation. And so the whole nation is gathered together on this day. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out. They went into the holy place. They went into the holy place, that tabernacle of the congregation. They went into where that golden menorah was and where that table of shewbread and that altar of incense that was burning, that it would be, that sweet incense under the nostrils of God. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. The glory, God's glory, his presence. I'm talking about camp meeting revival. Amen. The power of God came down. I done heard about it this morning. Now, don't try to cheat me tonight, okay? And don't cheat me out of, you done had the glory here this morning, amen. I done heard you, done had the glory of God. God done been working, done been saving, done been moving, done been touching. You done been singing, you done been rejoicing and blessing the name of the Lord. Hey, don't cut it short tonight, amen. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. Now, we done read in chapter 10, a fire came out and destroyed them old boys because they didn't make no difference. But this is a different kind of fire. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed up on the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's a good time right there. I mean, when the glory of the Lord just falls down and the goodness of God comes out of glory and the fire from heaven. Now, you know what? That fire was moved upon that old brazen altar. They had those sacrifices and it was perpetually lit. I mean, it was a priest's job to continually stoke the fire upon that brazen altar. That was a commandment of God. Hey, we got a commandment of God on our lives that we continually stoke the fire of revival in our heart, that we keep the fire of God burning and ablazing hot down in our hearts and our lives and our soul. Now, I'll tell you, the world will try to dampen it. Hey, the devil will try to out it. He'll try to put it out. He'll cause everything in the world. He'll stir up everything in the world. I'm telling you, he'll even cause, somebody told me one time, said, preacher said, I've had such a rough week that even the squirrels have come down and chewed the telephone lines in two. I mean, it's pretty bad when everything gets that bad, ain't it? Hey, but nevertheless, God is still on the throne. Amen. That doesn't make him no less God than he's ever been. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the same God that what old Daniel was down yonder in that lion's den. Oh, King Darius come out. And you know what? Darius said, I tried to get him out. I tried to do everything, but the Medes and the Persians, they made that decree. I couldn't get him out. Oh, Daniel, he said, oh, King, live forever. He said, my God delivereth and rescueth me. Hey, you know what I can tell you tonight? That my God delivereth and rescueth me. He's able to bring me out of the fiery furnace. He's able to bring me out of that old lion's den. He's able to bring me out of the prison, out of Philippian jail. There might be some things I'll have to endure. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing. It'll be worth it all. When I get to heaven and I get on yonder shore, it'll be worth it all. All of this suffering and all of this journey will be well worth it all. Old Nadab and Abihu had been through this great revival. The presence of God and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Everybody saw it. He wasn't nobody had to hear secondhand. Everybody saw it. And the Bible said they shouted and fell on their face. Sound like something John done in the book of Revelation. See, he just got on his face, just fell as a dead man and worshiped God. Hey, I realize that through all of this, by chapter 10, just the next verse, old Nadab and Abihu, they said, well, you know what? I think what we're going to do, they get that old shovel out, that old censer, you know, I don't know, probably it's a pretty sophisticated area up here. Hey, you probably ain't never had wood or coal heat and ain't had no little shovel that you had to shovel ashes with. Come on. And they had that little old shovel and they would reach in that brazen altar. Now listen, that's the same shovel that where the glory of the Lord appeared and the fire fell from glory, and they reached in there and got a little bit of glory. Some of you need to go back home and get your shovel. And reach in there. The old Nadab and Abihu had took that shovel and reached back in there and got some of them hot coals and pulled them out. Hey, that was the fire that God started, amen. I'm telling you, if you'd ever get back to that, hey, what did he say in the book of Revelation? He said, not that you've lost your love, but you've left your first love, amen. And so if you get back in that old hot coals and you get back on that old altar and you get back in that fire that God lit many years ago, I'm telling you that, you know what? You could rekindle some fire in who had feel some good revival fire and get purged once again. That's the fire of God that'll stir us up. That's a fire of God that'll wake our churches up. That's a fire of God that'll save a man from a devil's hell. Thank God for the fire of God. Thank God. Old Nadab and Abihu took that old shovel, that old censer. Before you know it, they said, well, you know what? They got to be another way. We don't want to do it God's way any longer. And so you know what they said? They said, there's another way. The world says there's another way. Circuit judges all over this great nation says there's another way. There's another rule of thumb. We don't have to be this Judeo-Christian nation. In fact, they call us a post-Judeo-Christian nation. As of right now, you know what? Secularists throughout this great nation have said there's another way. The homosexual, the LGBTQ plus, minus, negative, and all them other pronouns and subnouns and adjectives and whatever else them things is they got out yonder don't make no sense to me no how. I just got one word. I think sums it all up, and I don't understand all that stuff. I thought we just called them queers. I mean, because it's all weird, amen? Somebody said, you ain't allowed to say it. Oh, yeah, I is. They said, I said, amen. That's legal. I ain't broke no laws yet. Not since I've been in this sanctuary. Not yet, brother. Hey, but I realize that, you know what? They say there's another way. They say there's another way. In fact, they rewrote the Bible. They rewrote their own Bible. They got what, you know, hey, what we got? We got what? The King James Version. You know what they rewrote it? The Queen James Version. Yeah, yeah. They wrote them in they said there's another way. They said there's another way. And so they rewrote a Bible. Hey, it's got a little rainbow on the front. Just go ahead and Google it. Don't Google it right now. Just wait till we done. Amen. I'll be done in a few minutes. And you know what? You can find it right there. Hey, they said there's another way. Hey, the president says there's another way.
Come on.
Huh? said, hey, you can be a Christian, kill babies and be home and be all these other things. No, there's only one way. The Bible says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hey, there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, that's at the name of Jesus. Under that holy, blessed name, that's the only way that a man, woman, boy, or girl can ever be saved. Hey, there's one door, one faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life everlasting. And no man coming to the Father but by him. He is the only way. And there is no other way. And so Nadab and Abihu just simply said, there's another way. They'll tell you at the schoolhouse, there's another way. They'll tell you on the job, in the workplace, there's another way. Somebody told me one time, said, preacher, said, you know, when I come back, I said, what you mean when you come back? They said, well, when I die, when I come back, I'm going to come back as a blue jay. I said, what you mean when you come back? You, well, when I die, I'm coming back. I said, no, no, friend, listen. When you leave this world, you going. You're not coming. You're going. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me ask you something. Let's just lay the Bible aside right here. Have you ever met anybody that come back from the dead outside of Jesus Christ? Point taken, amen. We're not coming back. In fact, I'm glad I ain't coming back. I'll be honest with you. I've done had me a belly full of this world right here, amen. I mean, I've done ready. I've done like John over in Revelation. I prayed, Lord, God called, mighty come on, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for him. The Bible says that the Lord himself is going to descend with a shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, not the dead in the pews, not them that's died on Christ. Hey, but those that have died in the faith, amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're leaving this world one of these days. Death is once appointed unto every man to die. Nadab and Abihu, they committed spiritual suicide. And I know probably some of you don't like those choice of words. But the fact is that when they said they were one thing and yet doing another thing, they hung their own selves. Amen. They brought the judgment of God on their own lives because they were saying one thing and yet doing another. Amen. Nadab and Abihu looked for another way. Revival broke out in camp meeting, boy. The whole entire nation was doing well. And all of a sudden, two of these old young fellas broke out. And these priests, these holy men of God, all of a sudden they said, hey, there's another way. Come on. Old pretty boy on television. Pastor's the biggest. He don't pastor nothing. I don't even want to call him a preacher. Long-haired scoundrel. Needs a haircut. Sales makeup. I don't know about a man selling. I don't, especially a preacher selling makeup. I don't know about that, man. Anyway, that's weird to me. But anyway, amen. Got on national TV many years ago, told Larry King live. Larry King, one of the most staunchest atheists alive at that time. He's dead now. I guess he knows the truth now. Amen. I hope he got saved and found the truth out on the other side. On the right side, but I don't know. I ain't no judge. And Larry King looked right at him real candid and said, Mr. Osteen, do you think that Jesus Christ is exclusive, the only way to get into heaven? That he's the only way? He bounced that pretty little head around a minute and said, well, I can't say for certain that he is the only way. I could say he's the only way. Not but upon my pretense, not upon my verse, and not upon my conviction. but rather upon his word. Amen. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. In fact, he is the only way. Amen. He said, whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. He's the only way. That's the only way to get saved. That's the only way to get to heaven. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than at the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, Nadab and Abihu, thousands of years earlier, us are looking for another way. Men have been looking for other way down through the ages. There is no other way than that at the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. I realize that they're offering another way. It did not work. They ordered another way. By the time we get to verse 12 and read a little further, Moses says, there ain't no new way. These boys is come and gone under the wrath and the fiery judgment of the hand of God because they did not show a line of difference. Hey, that's what the church is for. The church, we're not to blend in with the world. We're not to look like, act like the world. Hey, we're just pilgrims passing through, amen. I don't plan to spend here. In fact, I'd be all right if I don't even get home tonight. Be all right with me. Because I'm ready to go home. I hate to see another election. I hate to be around in this world, in this great nation. I believe America is the greatest nation in all the world. Amen. Thank God for our patriots and our military, our veterans and those that are, thank God for that, amen. For those of you that are still serving, for those of you that have children just like I, that are still serving abroad, across the world, thank God for that. Amen. Hey, but I'm longing for a land I've never been. I'm homesick for a place that I ain't never been. I've read about it. And I've read about the walls of Jasper. I've read about the street of gold. I've read about that crystal sea. I've read about the light of that city. I've read about it all. But hey, I ain't never been. But I'll tell you, I'm homesick. I'm homesick for a place I've never been. I realized that Nadab and Abihu somehow or another had got a hold of the world. And it had crept into their heart and they didn't want to let go of it. Let me tell you a few statistics about these old boys. Number one, Exodus chapter 6, verse 23. In fact, chapter 10, verse 1 of the book of Leviticus. You could find that they were born in the right family. They wasn't born in a pagan, adulterous society. They wasn't born in some sort of, third world country where they didn't know anything about God. They ain't never been, hey, they didn't know anything but about God. Moses was their uncle. Aaron was their daddy. They had two other brothers and all four of them boys were priests and were operating from the time of their age, operating around the things of the Lord and serving the Lord. That's all they ever knew was to serve God and to live for God. They didn't know anything. They were born in the right family. They still died under the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. Secondly, they worshiped the right way. And I do want to flip over there. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, verse. Oh, let's just start in verse 4. Exodus chapter 24, verse 4. The Bible says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Exodus chapter 24, verse 5 now. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant, the word of God, and read in the audience of all of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. What's verse 10 say? And they saw not the glory, not the glory. They saw the God. They saw the God of Israel. What an experience. I mean, these boys, they knowed how to worship. This wasn't somebody that just hem-hawed, bounced in off the street looking for a handout every 30 days, looking for the pastor of the church. Come on. You ever have people come here to the side door, knock on the church while the church is going, asking for handouts? Boy, we have them down that way. People, all kind of crazy people doing stuff. They want money, but we say, oh, just sit right here, wait till service over. They ain't got time to wait. They saw the glory of God, the fire of God come down, the glory of God. But the Bible says that when they were younger and starting out, they saw the God of Israel. Man, you're talking about an experience that we've had. I can tell you about some experiences I had. Your pastor can tell you about some experiences you had. Hey, you in this church, you worshiped and you saw the glory of God in this place. You saw the presence of the Lord. Hey, you saw probably the Shekinah glory and the blue haze of God's glory and God's presence in this place. And you felt his presence in times of trouble. And folk are wanting to quit and find another way? No, man. No, Lord, no. No, let's seek the Lord. I like that song them girls sung about, seeking the Lord. I sought the Lord. Hey, they worshiped the right way. Thirdly, in Exodus chapter 28, it gives all the law of their garment. They learned sanctification there. They learned separation there. They learned how to dress in a holy attire. And all of that. I'm not here to preach on your clothesline. That's between you and your pastor. But they were taught all of this stuff. It wasn't that they did not know. It's just that they rebelled against everything that they did know. And in America, we've got so complacent. Come on. I'm sure some of you have been into some foreign places, and you saw the receptiveness of the gospel at times, and how that sometimes we preach our hearts out, and folk just seem to resist God's best. Come on. Don't resist God's best. Amen. He wants to get God on the throne wants to give you his best. Right out of his throne room and give it to you that you may inherit his kingdom. Amen. Listen, here's some folk that could not turn loose of the world. We know Nadab and Abihu couldn't turn loose of the world. Hey, but Simon the sorcerer, we know that when he had heard the gospel, he responded probably with a tear-dimmed eye and come down to the old apostle and said, hey, you know, I like what's going on here. I want to get right with God. And all of a sudden he saw them laying hands and they receiving the Holy Ghost in that early church. He said, hey, can I buy that? Yep. He could not turn loose of the world. He had almost come out of sorcery and almost converted and almost made a turnaround, but he was still holding on. Lot's wife. She was led out by the angel, by her hand, had a heavenly host, everything but drag her out of that city. Amen. And led her to safety and said, don't look back. You know what she done? Three words in the gospel. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back. You know she looked back. You know why she looked back? Because she never left. Amen. She never left. Oh, physically she left, but her heart was back in the city where her children was. Oh, two of her daughters got out, but there were some other children that were lost. Lost in the judgment of God. The young rich ruler come to Jesus, and he said, good master, what good thing? What good thing? What good thing can I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? He said, I'll tell you what you can do. He said, you can keep the commandments. That's a good starter. This crowd today said, well, we're New Testament believers. We don't believe in the Old Testament. Why did Jesus refer to it?
That's right. Come on, man.
I mean, he's all New Testament, but he referred to the old. But anyway. He said, well, I've kept these from my youth up. And I'll say it kind of candidly, kind of just in my words, if you don't mind. He said, if you're serious, are you serious? Are you really serious? Because if you're really serious and you want to make heaven your home, sell all that thou hast.
Amen.
And give to the poor. Well, it wouldn't take me long.
Come on,
it probably wouldn't take some of y'all long. But that wasn't the problem. It wasn't the amount of time or the amount of stuff. It was the placement of his heart.
Amen.
He loved his stuff more than he loved his God.
Amen.
There's a lot of people like that. They love their stuff more than they love their God. Hey, here's another individual that could not turn loose of the world. Demas, the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me because he loved this present world. I realize that we could probably go on and on and on about people that cannot let go of the world. But Nadab and Abihu, they saw God. You say, well, preacher, I've always heard that nobody could look on God. Moses saw him.
Amen.
He saw the hinder parts.
Amen.
It didn't say he saw him in the face. It just said that they saw him. They saw him. They saw his glory. They saw his miracle. They saw his fire. They saw his presence.
Wow.
Amen. They saw all these things, and yet they were born in the right family. They were taught to worship the right way. They were taught all the sanctification, all that process that they needed in their lives to facilitate them the entirety of their life of worship and living for God. In other words, they were discipled right. No excuses. They tried another way. Listen, friend, if you're here tonight and the devil's tempting you to try another way, and you know what? If the devil can't get you to stop going to church, he'll try to get you to go to another church.
Amen.
He'll try to get you, he'll get you to nitpick at something other. And you know, and people, you know, these people in my community that I love and I care about, they say, preacher, I would love to come and go to your church, but I don't know about them bylaws you got. You ain't never seen my bylaws. What do you mean? May God help us.
Amen.
May God help us. Sometimes we get things in our head that just ain't right. Sometimes we get a little bit off key. We get off our magnetic heading a few degrees. It seems that we're going in the same direction, but we're going further away from our destination all the time. And we think we're getting closer and closer and closer. Maybe tonight, God is speaking to your heart as they make ready for a song. The Lord speaks to your heart tonight and says, hey, you know, there is these other ways that people are trying. You know, there's over 4,400 religions in this world, in America. I do well to count that high, let alone worship that many times. There's no way I could think about deities and, you know, and all these different things. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
Hey, you might have, it's all right, you ain't going to go to hell for it. But if you got one of them Facebook pages, somebody says, what's Facebook? I said, well, that's all out yonder in space. If you got that stuff, they might have 2,000 or 3,000 different genders on there. That don't make it right. Just because a judge legislates and somebody sues and somebody does this, it doesn't make it right. Listen, friend, I'll never meet the president. I don't even care to. We all went to the governor's office. I'm sure you were there and met the governor that time when we were trying to ban and outlaw gambling in the state of South Carolina. Old Governor Jim Hodges, he said, let's look to Georgia. They got the gambling and the lottery. Let's look to Georgia. I said, God help us. He thought it was right to gamble. Then he gave our most prominent missionary from South Carolina, our conference here in the state, what is the Palmetto Award, the highest civilian award given to civilians, which I think was very notable and credible. Friend, we're not going to make it to heaven by trophies and awards. Ideas and views. There's only one way to get to heaven. Whew. And I so desperately want to make heaven my home. Don't you? Don't you? I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I want to make heaven my home. And I come so short. I fail so often. I've had so much trouble in my life. A few times I wanted just to lay it down and say, you know what? I want to quit, God. God, I want to quit. You ever want to quit? God says, no, ain't no need to quit. You've gone too far to turn back now. I fought the devil too many times. You say, preacher, you must have had a rough life. Yeah, I had four kids, and that means four teenagers. The circumstance I talked about earlier, me and my first wife were married 32 years. She suddenly passed away. And at 51 years old, I was widowed. I just about didn't make it. Great men of God like this prayed for me. My church prayed for me. Oh, I kept pastoring. I kept going right along. I told him I preached the worst sermons I ever preached in my life during those few months of hardship and struggle. God sent another young lady right from the church. I've remarried, recouped, kind of getting back on the circuit again, getting out preaching a little bit. I thank the Lord for that. And I can say, Sister Jawan, that my God, like Daniel said, he delivereth and rescueth me. Amen. My God delivereth and rescueth me. Listen, you don't know what your neighbor, you may know some of what they're going, but you don't know what they're facing. You don't know the hardships and the difficulty. Listen, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think I ever had a problem much that I couldn't resolve until I run across that. And I found out I needed God more than I ever needed him in my entire life. I need God. You need God tonight. Let's all stand. As they begin